Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Post Game Panic. It is Friday, October the 18th, and we've got a lot to talk about. On Thursday, or I should say on Wednesday, there was no game that mattered in either the NFL, NBA, or MLB, so there was no post game to panic about. Pardon me. But now there is. Having a football game last night and having a postseason baseball game last night. So let's go ahead and dive into it. I'm calling this postgame panic for a reason because I've got some panics now because Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs has a dislocated kneecap and is expected to miss a minimum of 3 weeks. It was on a very questionable call on 4th and inches by Andy Reid to quarterback sneak it. Mahomes' leg got caught under and got pretty badly injured. He did wave off the cart and walked back to the locker room. He was able to walk on his own power eventually. But that was obviously an unfortunate thing, but the game had to go on, and the Chiefs were able to dominate 30-6. And their defense did an absolutely outstanding job sacking Flacco, I think, 8 times, and they got a sack on the punter, making it 9 on the night. So it was actually huge for Kansas City on a short week. That defense had just been roasted. Their run defense had been just horrible. They shut Phillip Lindsay down, and they did their job. For the Broncos, a team that had high hopes after winning 2 in a row, fall to 2-5. We'll see what John Elway does with the team. But the panic button is being hit. If you were a Chiefs fan, if you hadn't hit the panic button after those back-to-back losses, even though you won 30-6, the panic button has to be hit right now. Because franchise quarterback, best quarterback in the NFL right now, Patrick Mahomes, is out for a good period of time. And you're lucky it's only that. That was the best case scenario. I would say the Chiefs are going to lose to Green Bay now, and they're going to lose to Minnesota, and it will be questionable if they can beat the Titans, and then after that, we'll see if Mahomes is back. Listen, Matt Moore is not the worst quarterback in the league, but then again, he's Matt Moore. He's not going to get you wins, and, you know, I think the Chiefs season is over, to be completely honest with you. I can sit here confidently on October the 18th and tell you I'm pretty sure the Chiefs season is over. I think they're done. I don't think they have a chance to win the Super Bowl. I think they might get into the playoffs. But I think that their season is over. And here's why. It is unreasonable to believe that they are going to win every game without Patrick Mahomes. It simply is. The odds are just not there. Let's say they only lose one. That still puts them at 3 losses. 13-3, I think New England finishes better. Let's say they lose 2 of them, which is reasonable. That's 12-4. I think New England will definitely do better than 12-4. I think Kansas City, to get the number one seed and get home field advantage, which I think they need to win the Super Bowl, would have to go 14-2, win out the rest of the year, because I don't see New England losing more than 2 games. So Kansas City would have to walk into New England in December and beat them to get the tiebreak and then hope they lose somewhere else down the road, somewhere in between. They do go to Philly, Baltimore. They do have their tough games in there. But I think the panic button is hit. The Chiefs season is over. It's over. They might make the playoffs. They might win a playoff game. But it's over. They're not going to Foxborough, and they're not winning in the playoffs. The season is over. It is done. Maybe they bring Mahomes back this year, but if they lose all 3 of these, maybe they don't. I don't know. All I know is the Chiefs season is doomed. It's over. No chance. A team season that was over before it even started, though, was Denver, who now looks like they're going to waste yet another year of Von Miller and Chris Harris and that decent defense. It's gone from elite to decent to this point. It's really frustrating to watch that offense. It really is, because Joe Flacco is horrible and John Elway is the worst quarterback evaluator ever. He brought in Case Keenum last year and it was bad, but this is worse. I think Case Keenum did better. And you know, you start to question, well, is it the weapons? You know, does he have enough to work with? He's got Noah Fant, who had a rough night last night, but still a very reliable tight end. He has Emmanuel Sanders, a wide receiver. Lots of teams are trying to get, but Elway's delusional and says they're not trading him. And then Cortland Sutton, a young, good receiver. So it's not like it's the most prolific offense of all time, but it's not the Miami Dolphins. You know, you have players on that offense that are capable of getting open, making plays, and of course, your running back is Phillip Lindsay, so you have an obvious chance to do it. But the offensive line was the biggest problem last night. And Denver's season was over before it started. They may as well just tank the rest of this away, because there's no way they're going to make the playoffs. There's just no way. They can't compete with any top-tier team in the AFC. They've beaten the Titans with Marcus Mariota, who is a joke and is already benched. And they have beaten the Chargers, who look surprisingly terrible this year. So that's that. Going to my picks for the week, let's go ahead and get that started with the Raiders at the Packers. I think that the Packers are going to win this game slightly. I think the Raiders are one of the most physical teams in football and have one of the most overwhelming offensive lines in the league. I think they're going to have a good day running, but I think overall Green Bay at home at Lambeau's, historically with Rodgers, just does not lose. Yeah, they find ways, whether that be the refs or if they do it themselves, they'll find a way to get it done and get the job done. The Rams at the Falcons, Jalen Ramsey's debut. The Falcons look like a team that's completely shipped it in and they're done. It just looks like they've quit on Dan Quinn. Season's over. They don't care anymore. And it was a team that I had high expectations for coming into the year, but they're sitting at 1-5. The Rams, on the other hand, have lost 3 in a row. They've made some changes. Maybe Jalen Ramsey plays. Maybe he doesn't. I don't think it matters. I think the Rams beat them pretty good in Atlanta. Dolphins at the Bills. This doesn't need explanation. The Bills are going to beat them. Jaguars at the Bengals. Another one that really doesn't take a lot of explanation. The Bengals are a mess. The Jaguars have a pretty good defense. I think the Jaguars win. Now, here comes one that takes a lot of consideration and a lot of thought. The Vikings at the Lions. This is a Lions team that has to be pissed off the way they just play. They kicked 5 field goals and never converted when they needed to. They got 1 touchdown all game. That's it. That's all they could do. But yet they want to blame the refs, and I'd give it to them. The refs did horrible. But they have to be frustrated with the way they played as well. And the Minnesota Vikings have to be floored with the way they just beat the Philadelphia Eagles, a team a lot of people in the NFC considers to be one of the better teams in the NFC. So that's interesting. I think the Vikings are a better team overall. But I think that the Detroit Lions win this game because they are just so upset about how last week ended. I think they go in this week and they get a win. Texans at Colts, great game. I think the Colts win. I think their offensive line is so good, and with a bye week, I think it's going to work out. This is a Texans team that was really challenged in Kansas City. They were able to come out with a win, but it was a Texans team that was severely challenged in Kansas City. They had to come out in a fight to the very end. So, you take that into consideration versus a team that in the Colts didn't even play and got to rest. That's a big advantage. Cardinals-Giants, I'm going to take the Cardinals. I don't think this game really matters. I just think Kyler Murray is better than Daniel Jones right now, has better weapons. 49ers-Redskins, 49ers are way better than the Redskins right now. The Redskins are just horrible. They did beat the Dolphins last week, but that's not really saying much. Chargers-Titans, boy, the loser of this game season is in a lot of jeopardy. Both seasons are. Ryan Tannehill is getting the start. I'm going to take the Titans. I think the Chargers have a more talented roster. However, I just think the Titans at home, their defense is going to play well. Derrick Henry is going to run the rock well. And Rivers has looked like a nightmare this season. I think that continues. So give me the Titans in a close one. Saints at Bears. I think this is where Bridgewater gets the first L of his Saints tenure. Or actually, he got one last year at the end of the year. You get the point, though. I think the Bears win this coming off of a bye. They lost to the Raiders. They're not happy about that. Maybe they have Mitchell Trubisky. I don't think that's really an important thing anyway. I think him and Chase Daniels are on similar playing levels at this moment. Not to say one doesn't have more potential than the other, because they do. Trubisky has more potential, but I think the Bears win this one. I think their defense suffocates Bridgewater. Ravens-Seahawks. Gosh, I want to think the Seahawks are great, but I just can't really come to that conclusion because the Seahawks have won so many games and they've been so close with all of them that it's hard to get a grip on them. And then Baltimore, a team that is 4-2, but doesn't look great. I mean, they barely skidded by the Bengals last week. They barely got by Pittsburgh. They got beat by the Chiefs. They got beat by the Browns at home bad. I don't know. We don't know enough about the Ravens yet. I'm going to take the Seahawks in a close game. Seahawks haven't played great this year either. They have a great record, but they haven't played great this year. Sunday Night Football must win for both teams, it feels like. The Eagles and Cowboys battling for first in the division. I like Philly in this game. When good teams get embarrassed, they like to come out and they like to set their points straight. And I believe that's what's going to ultimately end up happening here. I think Philly comes out on top, wins this game. And yeah, that would be my prediction overall. I just think Dallas is severely overrated. And then Monday Night Football, Patriots, Jets. I think Jets are going to make it a little interesting, but give me the Patriots any day over the Jets. I think that's an obvious pick. All right, so we're going to transition a little bit into MLB baseball. Tonight is game five of the ALCS. The Houston Astros, after falling down 1-0 at home, have now taken a 3-1 series lead, the first three-game losing streak for the Yankees since August. The Yankees last night got out to a good start, loading the bases in the first inning versus Zach Greinke. However, they only were able to capitalize, get one run, instead of making it more of a punishment for Greinke, who ended up being just fine. A three-run home run in the third inning by George Springer got the Astros on the board. Before you knew it, they were up 6-1. They were able to hang on for an 8-3 win. The Yankees committed four errors. Really bad football. Just really bad football. What am I talking about? Really bad baseball. Gosh, I was still thinking of the NFL. But yeah, really bad baseball. You can't do that in October. Four errors in a game, you're asking to lose. And tonight, their season's on the line. That'll be a 7:08 Eastern time start. And it'll be James Paxton going for the Yankees versus Justin Verlander. Yeah, good luck. I would not want my season on the line versus Justin Verlander. My thoughts on this series, it's kind of crazy because I thought the Yankees were going to win the series coming in. Even though I thought Houston was a better team, I thought the Yankees were going to win the series coming in. However, the Astros have dominated games 3 and 4. They've just dominated them. Game 2, they had to really fight for. It looked like they were the team with their back against the wall, but now they have the Yankees against the wall. I think this is a little foolish that Aaron Boone, Yankees manager, has not put Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup in games 2, 3, or 4. You're paying that guy so much money. So much money. And I know he's been injured this year. I know that's been the case. But my goodness, how do you bench him? The one game you won, you started him. He's going to hit fourth tonight. I'm glad they put him back in the lineup. He's a power bat that can change the game with one swing. This is too good of a Yankees team to lose this series in five. I know the Astros are a super team. This is too good of a Yankees team to lose this in five. So in my personal opinion, this is going back to Houston. But the bottom line is, if you have to face Gerrit Cole, you're not going to beat him. Unless something bizarrely changes, you're not going to beat Gerrit Cole. So I think the series is over. I think Houston's going to the World Series. We're going to have a really good World Series pitching-wise. Astros versus Nationals. Think about this. We're going to get, probably, Scherzer versus Cole and Verlander versus Strasburg. Is that not awesome? I mean, that would just be a great pitching series. I feel bad for the hitters. This is going to be rough. Because these pitching staffs, these bullpens, I mean, both teams, the Nationals bullpen isn't great, but the Astros is. I mean, that's going to be a great series. I think it happens, even though I thought the Yankees coming in were going to be able to nab that, and we're going to be able to get that thing done. I know I don't really like to talk about preseason on here because it's not really a relevant thing, but when superstar, I guess a man with superstar potential, Zion Williamson, misses a game due to an injury, you kind of are going to raise your eyebrows and wonder what happened and what's going on. Zion Williamson is expected to miss a couple weeks with a knee problem. So it does not look like Zion Williamson will be playing on opening night on Tuesday, which is kind of why they slated the Pelicans into that game. This isn't good, because Zion Williamson is the second heaviest player in the NBA. By far the heaviest for his size, height-wise. This is really bad, because this is a foreshadowing thing, I believe. I believe, listen, everyone wants to think this is the next LeBron, but everyone forgets that LeBron James wasn't this big. LeBron James did not weigh as much as Zion. And the more Zion jumps and the more wear and tear he's putting on those knees, keep in mind, he's only 19. I mean, this guy is suffering these problems when he's 19. I just don't see a scenario where he is going to ever be able to live up to the hype that he's been given, because I don't think he'll ever be able to stay healthy for a long period of time. And that's sad. But that's the way I feel about this. I feel as if Zion is going to be a great player, but I have a bad feeling we're going to get another Greg Oden here. Not as bad of a player. He's going to have more success, but the knee issues are going to derail what could be a Hall of Fame career. And it's sad to see. But I think the only way Zion has a long-lasting career in this league is if he loses weight. I know his weight's part of what makes him so physically dominating. But I feel like if he could go down 10 or maybe 20 pounds, which is, I mean, that's asking a lot to do now, but maybe next offseason or maybe coming in to while you're out right now, if you could lose 5 pounds, something. You got to lose weight because you're putting too much wear and tear on your knees. It's causing for a problem, and it's just no fun for anyone when the number one overall pick isn't ready to go. It stinks. You want to see this guy play because he was so electric at Duke. He looks good in the preseason. But now he's injured and he's expected to miss opening night. So opening night isn't going to be as fun to watch. Opening night was going to be, Zion versus the defending champs. The new kid versus the defending champs, even though nobody really cares about Toronto like that anymore because they lost Kawhi. But, I still think it's going to be watchable because, you want to see Lonzo Ball. You want to see Brandon Ingram. You want to see Drew Holiday. I mean, there's some notable guys on the Pelicans you want to see play. I personally think Lonzo Ball is in for a really big year. I think Lonzo, if he can get Zion on the court with him, is going to average 12 assists a game. I really do. I think this man is special when it comes to finding guys on the court, and I think he needs to break out. I think Zion also will average 12 points a game, which would be an upgrade from 9.9 a game. I think he's going to get a little better this year. I think he's going to be a better shooter. That jump shot has been broken for a while now. I think he fixes it. I think it becomes better. I think he becomes an overall better player. I think he's a fringe all-star type of guy. I don't think he gets there this year, but I think he's on the verge of getting there. And that's that for the NBA. There's not really a lot to talk about with the NBA right now. They're not going yet. But when they get going next week, it's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, we hope Zion can get back because we're already missing a superstar this year in Kevin Durant. So it would suck to see another guy that we have high hopes for and that we want to watch go down with a bad injury. That would just not be good. But this doesn't seem to be incredibly serious. I'm sure he's going to be able to play by early November, maybe late October. I don't really know. But I can't imagine this sidelines him for more than 2 to 3 weeks. I think that would be the longest, unless there's something we just don't know about Zion Williamson. But yeah, he's got to lose weight because he's not going to last in this league. You want the LeBron James comparisons? Part of what's made LeBron so great is his durability. The fact that he can stay healthy and the fact that he's always ready to play. He can play for 48 minutes if he has to. Not always the right thing, but he can if he has to. And that's why LeBron James had the success he has, because he had the opportunity. It's rare to see a superstar like him play that long and only suffer now one injury in 16 years. That was really notable. It's very rare. But that's going to wrap up today's podcast. There's some college football tomorrow, but Wisconsin, Ohio State, I'm really looking forward to that. I think Ohio State's the best team in the country. We'll see if they can win tomorrow. But yeah, that is going to be all for today. Enjoy your weekend. Watch some football. Watch some baseball. Maybe we get game on Sunday. Depends on the result tonight. And I'll be back on Monday for another episode of Post Game Panic. But enjoy the weekend, guys.